Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. This platform is dedicated to you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. You are bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, you're changing the world. We celebrate you here on the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. That is my story. That is what I'm sticking to. We've got a great interview. Of course we do, because industry is fabulous with interviews, fabulous with knowledge, and fabulous with people who just want to give up their time and share content that'll help you succeed in the future. Let's get going. All right. This podcast is brought to you by those incredible folks at Mobius Institute and Mobius Connect. Mobius Connect's part of Mobius Institute. They are passionate about your success, training, content, you name it. Go out to MobiusInstitute.com. Find out more. You will not be disappointed, especially now. We've got to be focused on reliability more than ever. We've got to be able to keep that asset up and running efficiently, safely, everything that's associated with it. Reach out to those folks at Mobius Institute. Find out more. Surf around that internet and website, and you'll find some great, great stuff. We are also put this on, well, I can't say calendar because we haven't really sort of knocked down the date, but we're doing a sales marketing roundtable, industrial related, and we're highlighting some really great professionals within the sales profession. So what that means is we're going to have a hot table type of forum where we're going to just pepper them with questions, because we're going to get on the other side of this virus, right? And that means we're going to have strategies, and I don't know, we've got to be successful. You got a cash flow problem today because, well, you're not having sales. So let's beef up that sales. Let's keep it going. Let's make it happen. It's important. So stay tuned. More to follow. Great professionals. Now, we're going to be talking to a gentleman by the name of Tim Rice. He is the principal consultant. Really, he is the head cheese. Yeah, he doesn't like to be called the principal consultant. Well, no, the head cheese. He likes to be called principal consultant. But that is neither here nor there. And he's with the Defect Elimination Project. Now, if you have heard me over and over again, I am a big fan of defect elimination, because I believe, and that goes with any profession, any strategy that you're trying to deploy. Let's say I have this big old strategy and I try to deploy it. The likelihood of that strategy failing at the end because it's a big old elephant is pretty high. But if I take that same strategy and then begin to eat it one bite at a time and gain some victories and gain some success, then the likelihood of that succeeding in the future is much greater. So Tim comes from the perspective of defect elimination. He has studied it, he has trained in it, and he is passionate about it. And I'm just telling you, right, post-virus, you better be thinking about this. You better be thinking about it today, right? And deploying strategies like that, you need to reach out to Tim. You need to reach out to those wonderful people at Mobius Institute to find out more as well. So once again, Tim Rice, the Defect Elimination Project, which I kind of like. I like that. And look at his stat card. You're going to have to, there's a couple of Tim Rices, but go Tim Rice and then put in the defect elimination. You'll find him. No problem there. So anyway, Tim Rice on the Industrial Talk Podcast. Enjoy the interview. All right, Tim, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you made time in your busy schedule. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Man, I like the fact that you've got a great mic and it's coming in really loud and clear. Yeah, you listeners out there, that's him. He's prepared. How about that? All right. For the listeners, give us a little background on who you are, why you're such an incredible professional, and what you're passionate about.
Okay. So, you know, my name is Tim Rice. I am mechanical engineer by degree. I have been working in the, I guess, reliability engineering base for about 15 years. You know, I've had titles of certain variations of a reliability engineer. Most of that time has been in the mining industry in Australia and the US. So I am passionate about making sure our plants, our equipment runs reliably, and making sure that, you know, we get the most out of it to get the biggest bang for our buck from our assets to support, you know, our business.
Yeah, and in the mining industry, you know, if that asset is down and it's not producing or doing what it needs to do, that's major, major money loss, big time.
Oh, it's huge.
I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe just the focus on reliability has changed so drastically. If you've been in the industry for so long, you've seen it evolve to where you're keeping these assets running in a pretty reliable way, because you can't have them down, man. You just can't.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, look, technology's improved. You know, once upon a time where we used to just throw money at things to buy reliability, now we're not in that space. We need to be a lot smarter and a lot more economical and put our thinking caps on.
Yeah, but the ability to be able to do that is out there. The thinkers like you and others are able to provide insights and how to do that effectively and achieve the results that you need achieved. So on this particular episode of the Industrial Talk Podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about defect elimination, and that's pretty passionate to me and others who are listening, because if you're struggling, and jump in anytime, Tim, if you're struggling to get a reliability program going or whatever it might be, whatever the resistance might be, defect elimination is a great way to get moving and start to see and achieve the values of reliability. Is that not correct?
That's absolutely. Look, I don't care if you're one of the leading companies in the world, you still have defects within your company that you need to eliminate. It's a never-ending process.
So define for the listeners out there, what is defect elimination?
Okay. So a defect, Winston Ledee, he's probably considered the godfather of defect elimination. He defined a defect, and I've shortened his definition to a defect being anything that erodes value. So look, a defect can be anything that impacts productivity from a quality and quantity perspective, anything that impacts health, safety of the people, anything that impacts the environment. So, you know, the environment's a hot topic at the moment with, you know, emission standards, releases, state and federal regulations. So some of these things can come with pretty hefty fines and sanctions. And then look, talking the other day to somebody, the HR process comes under fire a lot as well. So,
hold on. You just the HR process too?
That's it. With hiring people. So, I've been in certain situations where it takes far too long to get an offer letter out to somebody, and within that time, we've lost that person and we've lost a very good resource because we've taken too long.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That is interesting. Never thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right. Because we as companies, we drag our feet. We sit there and overthink maybe the hire or what might happen. And then you lose that opportunity. You're absolutely, I didn't think of that. That's pretty good. Take note of that, listeners. That's a pretty good one. So defect elimination is pretty much anything, once again, when this book or this gentleman, Winston Ledee?
That's it. L-E-D-E-T.
And he came out with this particular thought or approach how many years ago?
Good question. I believe it was back in maybe the 70s or 80s.
See, it's been out there. So you're just a disciple of that stuff. So that's good.
That's it. I love it.
So let's talk a little bit about putting it in action. So I've got my business hat on. I run this, you know, facility, whatever. How do I start? I'm saying, yes, I like defect elimination. I like the thought. I like that. I read Winston's book and I've listened to you. How do we start?
So I think the first thing is you need to realize that it's not just one person that's going to be doing defect elimination. It needs to be an organization-wide initiative program. So the best defect elimination programs involves the people from maintenance, from operations. It involves the engineers. It involves outside subject matter experts as well, and the vendors that supply some of this equipment that we use in our plants. So once we establish the fact that, okay, everybody needs to be involved, then we can start to move on identifying where the defects are within our business.
So it has to be a holistic look at everything. You got to bring in, you can't be a lone ranger out there to say, hey, you can, and you can identify a defect, and you can then sit there and say, hey, I want to resolve this defect. But the best way to approach it, of course, is holistic and get everybody on the same page and say, hey, we're going down this road and we're going to log and document these defects and then take a plan of attack. Okay, so who can eliminate defects? Who can? Like who?
Well, anybody really. Look, from the guy, you know, on the shop floor, the mechanic or the operator that sees things occurring each day that's impacting their ability to perform their task or their role, you know, to the CEO of a company who is looking at their reports and their graphs and their spreadsheets, identifying where they're losing value within the business. So anybody can identify a defect. And like I said, we don't do that alone, or we don't solve it alone, because there's typically with a defect, there's many different inputs and many different things that enable that defect to exist. So, you know, if one person wanted to try and solve that defect on their own, they might bring in some bias to, you know, understanding what's causing that defect.
Yeah, and you really, for success, I would imagine it once again gets back to how you start, and that's a cultural mindset of saying we're all in the defect elimination business for this organization, and that's where it starts. Because I would imagine it can break down quickly if I'm all passionate and you're not, or vice versa, or whatever it might be, and then I find a defect, and then I go into my system and say, defect here, and this is sort of what it is, and then nothing happens, and 3 years later, defect is still defective. So that's why it has to truly be a cultural mindset to get it going. Or it's just like, another program that I don't have to listen to, that type of thing.
That's it.
So with that cultural mindset, with that focus, how do we define, or how do we identify a defect, in the sense we've talked about the definition, but let's put it down, you know, in the trenches right now, because sometimes a defect could be just an elimination of a hazard, right? Yeah, I got to take care of that. Let's take it in. I'm done, right? But how do we approach that from a process perspective?
Yeah. So there's three main ways that I like to look at it, or to identify defects. Look, three data. A lot of our industrial plants have a lot of data, a lot of sensors, a lot of things being recorded each day, every second, that you can use to identify defects over a long period of time. But then the other two are very much interactive, where we go out and actually talk to people, or we get their feedback on what is impacting their day. And then, you know, for a supervisor or a manager or somebody that sits in the office each day that doesn't get out into the plant, I encourage them to, you know, actually get out into the plant and don't necessarily talk to people initially, but just observe what's going on. Because they might observe, you know, a couple of mechanics working on a pump that, you know, these mechanics have worked on that pump for many years and don't see some of the defects or some of the wasted time that creeps into their tasks Whereas somebody with a fresh set of eyes can identify, hey, you know, did you realize you walked backwards and forwards from the tool locker 5 times during the process of doing maintenance on that pump? Or, you know, so a fresh set of eyes, somebody getting out there and observing what's going on. You know, I like to say the standard you walk by is the standard that you accept. So if you see a leaking pipe and you walk past it day in and day out, that's kind of this, the standard that you accept.
But
so
it's unfortunately it's systemic. And when you say, you know, a manager needs to get out there, or some, whatever, the management team needs to get out there and look, I'm still shocked that they don't. I mean, some just stay in their office and deal with whatever the fire is at that time. But you do, you need to get out. And it's not only just the fact that you're trying to observe. And let's say I'm a manager and I'm loaded for bear. I see that this pump, and I know that they're working on the pump because I did my research in-house, and they're working on the pump again. I've got the data. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to observe. That's a little bit more proactive, and that's what is truly necessary in this particular environment. But I'm still shocked that management sits around and doesn't look at it that way. That just blows me away. And then not only that, but the benefits, the value that the people, the front line gets when they see like management really cares. But I would imagine it's pretty tough because you don't want to just sit there and finger point and saying, are you gonna tighten that screw like that? Well, why would I? You know, you can't do that. You gotta let the people do the job. Heck, that's amazing. But anyway, so now we've got everybody's in the business of identifying defects. I don't care where it's at. Everybody's in the business, and that's the culture you have established. That's where everybody's on the same page. You identify how you identify is you can look at data. You can talk to people, right? And you can get management out there and start working on that. So how do you, let's say, okay, and we're good at this. We have a list of defects. We've got a list of hazards. We've got a list of everything. We've got, I don't care, a list of food that we're going to be ordering the next month. We've got lists. How do you identify which one's first?
Yeah. So I think a lot of times we work on what's coming up as urgent versus, or instead of what's really important to the business. So look, from a business perspective, you know, your CEO might want to look at things that are impacting cost, safety, production, whereas the mechanics and the operators, they want to look at things that are impacting their ability to perform their role or things that frustrate them day in, day out. And those two things, the things that the managers look at, you know, cost and so forth, don't necessarily line up sometimes with the frustrations on the people. So defect elimination is all about, you know, building engagement and changing that culture. So I like to say that, you know, in order to get people engaged, your workforce engaged, you probably need to solve some of their issues first before you start asking them to solve your issues. So it's a bit of a, you know, I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back type situation. So I think definitely you need to understand where the business is hurting right now. So if you've got a bad culture and people aren't engaged, you need to work on getting them engaged first. And I think through solving their defects, you can get them engaged, and then you can jump in to solve some of your bigger defects.
Absolutely spot on. That's exactly, I was going to come back with a question. It's like, hey, I know I'm running this little section of the manufacturing floor, whatever that section might be. And then I'm carrying the flag of defect elimination, and I'm going through and I'm going to say, that thing frustrates me because we had this thing repaired a number of times and it still breaks down, whatever it might be. My frustration is right there. And then when you go through the management side of trying to prioritize how you want to spend that money, my stuff is not in it, and that would frustrate me, and that would be one of those anti-motivational feedback that I don't want to receive. So you're right. You've got to back up to the top. Everybody's locked arm and marching in the same direction that we're going to do this, but you do have to demonstrate that you execute as well as, you know, help help the frontline people succeed and remove it. And then they're all bought in. It's like, yeah, they did it. They're delivering on what they promised. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yep.
But how, you know, I mean, after we talked about this, we're talking about creating a defect elimination. Now that's, is that anything? It's all a part of the reliability, asset reliability moniker, the sort of like the overarching definition of asset reliability. It's just all a part of that.
It is. So sometimes that can get kind of siloed itself, and people think about asset management and reliability just as a maintenance function.
Yes.
Whereas, again, we need to tie it all together and think about operational reliability and organizational reliability and how these defects are impacting the entire organization rather than just focusing on the maintenance organization.
Yeah, and from what I understand in the past, and I've had this conversation with other people, is that they're just from a business perspective and from a mental perspective, there's some really good low hanging fruit value out there to execute on that really strictly from a financial point of view, like how much is it going to cost me to fix this, are quite nominal for the benefits. It's a great trade-off.
Yeah.
And you'd be amazed, I would imagine, that you've been out on sites where there's just defects everywhere that they just sort of everybody becomes numb to. Like, watch out, don't step there. That scaffolding's weak, so go over here, you know. And they just do it. Like,
absolutely,
part of their operations. So
yeah.
And a big part of that too would be safety, right? Safety is huge. And I would imagine that safety itself would be the one of the criteria. Is like, okay, of course there's financial, but safety needs to be at the top and say, you know, is this a real safety hazard? Yes, it is. Okay, then, you know, it's like a no-brainer that way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, most defects have a number of different impact or consequence types. So a leaking pipe, for example, one, you're losing product, which is a cost to the business. Mm-hmm. Two, it's making a mess on the ground that somebody could slip on, which is a safety implication. And then three, it might end up getting into our waterways, which is an environmental implication, you know. So a lot of different impacts for the one defect can definitely occur.
And it still amazes me that we have this conversation with companies like that. That's like a no brainer. Like, yeah, leaky pipe. Leaky pipe.
Yeah. And they're so easy to fix sometimes.
Huh?
And they're so easy to fix sometimes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. And then of course you would probably have a sort of a conversation around the why. Why is this thing leaking and how long has it been leaking and do some sort of little, root cause type thing of saying, really, that's been going on for a month or 2 months or 3 months or whatever it might be. Then yeah, that brings out a whole nother myriad of questions of saying, why? What's that? I don't understand.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you need to get down to the root cause of some of these defects, because otherwise you're really just treating the symptom rather than the actual root cause and what are the underlying issues.
The big, big time. Now, hey, we're going to have to wrap it up. How are you active out there on LinkedIn?
I am. You can just search for me, Tim Rice. I should pop up. You should see my photo.
It's Tim Rice. I mean, that's not, you know, that's a fairly common name. Do I say, hey, Tim Rice, comma, the Defect Elimination Project? Would that pop up then?
That might not pop up at the moment. It's still a little bit underground. So, you can email me at tim@thedefecteliminationproject.com.
Okay, for spell check people out there, just remember that's a long URL, but he's able to be connected at that. So do your spell check defect elimination as well as project. Make sure that is all. And it's put the "the" in front of it too. So make sure that reach out to Tim because he's got some mad skills out there. You need to understand that defect elimination is definitely your friend, not your enemy, and it's great for your business. And Tim brings to the table some mad skills. So, Tim, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. You are absolutely wonderful.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you very much.
You got it, my friend. Thank you. And you, listeners, stay tuned because we're going to wrap it up on the other side, as we always do. So stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Hey, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. That was Tim Rice. The Defect Elimination Project is his company. Reach out to him. Go out to Tim Rice. Put in that defect elimination into a stat card in LinkedIn. Reach out to him. Connect. He wants you to be a success, especially in this post-virus world. We got to be thinking about it today. What are our strategies? Big time. Do it now. No time to rest on your laurels, without a doubt. Also, go out to Mobius Institute or Mobius Connect. They're all about just sharing and teaching and training you in the world of reliability. You can't go wrong there either. And I'm just, hear me once, hear me 1,000 times. Reliability is an important component to your business and the success and health of it in the future. Don't lollygag. Let's get it going, okay? And again, we're going to be kicking off a sales and marketing roundtable, hot seat type of format. Stay tuned for that. We're going to just sit there, and I'm a big fan of sales and marketing, as you know, industrial sales and marketing. So just remember, let's get that on the calendar, and I'll be sending out some stuff. Again, be bold, be brave, dare greatly, change the world. You innovate. Thank you very much for what you do. And we're going to be back with another great interview. So stay tuned and be safe. Stay away from that pesky virus.